The world we know is changing. Welcome to Biotech Nation. Today on Biotech Nation, the winner of the Biotechnology Innovation Organization's FutureMaker 2016 Award. It's Dr. Howard Jacobs, the Executive Vice President of the Hudson Alpha Institute for Biotechnology in Huntsville, Alabama. Well, congratulations, Dr. Jacobs.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasant surprise.
Now we'll call you Howard.
How's that? Perfect.
Now we're back to, normal. That was your award name.
Excellent.
Now we get to the where the rubber meets the road. Now, what's the difference between genomics and genetics?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, they sound quite similar. And so the easy way to think about it is genetics is what you pass on to your children.
Okay, the DNA.
So the DNA that you pass off to your offspring. That's your genetic component. Your genomic component is what you have because you don't pass everything to any of your offspring. So genomics is your whole amalgamation of DNA.
So genomics is me and genetics is what you're passing along.
Perfect.
Okay, what's the difference though? Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? It's a great question.
I mean, mine.
You got yours, and yeah, we all got DNA, right?
Yeah.
So it really comes down to the DNA is your blueprint that determines who you are, what you're at risk for, and I like to have people think about it as it's your family history. We all know that's important. We fill those forms out when we go from doctor to doctor, and if the data is accurate, it's really a useful tool. The problem is that it's not accurate. We don't share information.
I've never lied
right?
on that.
Exactly.
I exercise all the time.
I really didn't have a Big Mac yesterday, right?
Yeah.
So those features then make it hard to actually practice medicine really effectively. So imagine being able to read somebody's blueprint, which is really what your DNA is. And I think it's amazing that in 2016, really one of the few things in the world that doesn't have a blueprint is a human. And we ask our physicians to make us better, help us out, tell us if we're going to get sick without having a blueprint. There's no other business that would suggest that they could do something without a blueprint.
Well, I could come in with on a flash drive with my DNA in it and say, here's my genomics, doc. And he'd say, do I have to take this?
Well, you know, I think part of the challenge is that we haven't been training our physicians to be ready for this, right? The other part is that we have to help the physicians practice medicine in the way they have to practice medicine. We hand them a huge amount of data and ask them to sort through it. Well, that's not helpful either, right? So one of the challenges that we're working on at Hudson Alpha is how do you take the data that's really intricate, really complicated, and reduce it down to the level of practice between a physician and a patient. That's really the essential piece. Reading the DNA, yeah, there's a technical challenge of that. Analyzing the DNA, yeah, there's a technical challenge of that. But the practice of medicine is really, to me, where the rubber hits the road.
Well, give us some examples where we could do that today and some examples for where we will likely be able to do it tomorrow.
Yeah, so I think really what we can do today is in the area of undiagnosed disease or rare disease. And I think many of your listeners would be shocked to know that in 2016, there's between 20 and 30 million Americans that are really, really sick and nobody knows what's wrong with them. They go doctor to doctor, place to place. Many children that have this die before the age of 5 and nobody knows why. And so rare disease sounds like, well, how big of a problem can it be? It's rare. But rare is a medical definition, which means there's fewer than 200,000 patients that have the same clinical endpoints. So if we think about it, medicine is all about on average, that medicine's safe for you to take. But what if you have a rare disease and there's nobody else like you? And the physician's never seen a case like you before. Where do you go then, right? So this is really where we've started. And we've spent the last 6 years now working on this. And it's been very helpful for patients and for families to understand what's wrong with their disease and their physician. So that's the start.
And how did that work? I mean,
so it works really quite well. It's not as well as maybe we'd like. It's not 100%. So without genomic information, people are reporting, including ourselves, that it's about 7% of the time you can get a diagnosis, the correct diagnosis.
But what does it do?
What does it do? Well, so you read the DNA, right? So you read all of their DNA, and then you go through
Do you do the DNA of the whole family?
Well, sometimes we do the whole family, and sometimes we just do the individual. You can do both. It's helpful if you have the parents, but you can do it without. So you read all the DNA, and you look at 4 to 6 million variations that makes us individual, and then you say, do any of those variations cause disease in this patient? So you can imagine that's a little bit of a puzzle that you have to sort through.
Yeah. You don't do that at home with index cards.
You do not do that with index cards. Computing is a really good idea.
So at Hudson Alpha, then, you have a whole series of analytic tools that you can put this through.
Yeah, we have a bioinformatic group that has developed software that allows us to analyze a genome. You'd be surprised, or maybe your listeners would be surprised, that we can really analyze a genome, all that data, in less than 2 hours, and now generate a report. And if you think about, you know, the first human genome took a decade to figure that out. So we've really come a long way in the last 12 years.
And now, what's your part in all this?
My job is to help manage the different teams. So we have a clinic, we have a clinical laboratory, we have a bioinformatics group, and we have an education group that's all part of this whole operation. And then I also have my own laboratory. And my laboratory's focus is that if we have a variation that's never been seen before and we think it causes disease, can we create either a cell system or a model system to be able to test that to help validate that variation in that person's DNA is actually causal?
It seems to me that you just can't look at one person's DNA and another. You have to put like the human race together to see how humans operate, to understand. How do you bring all that or a sufficient amount of data together?
Well, so it's a great question. So the more genomes we sequence, the more value there is. So your DNA is valuable to you, obviously, as an individual. It's valuable to you as a family member. And it's also valuable to society because every genome we read then gives us information about what variation does. So in the example that we were talking about for the undiagnosed or rare disease, because it's rare, any variation that you or I would have in common with the patient, it can't be causal. So you just think of this as a big subtraction matrix. You start with, okay, here's all the variation in this person. Everybody's genome that we sequence, then we filter against that individual patient. We keep saying, okay, that can't be it, that can't be it, that can't be it, until you get to, oh, a eureka moment. Then that's where you know where it is. Now let's imagine we have millions of genomes now sequenced. Well, now what we can start doing is start asking, how about for common disease? Can we start having enough information about variation? We know that diabetes, heart disease, cancer, they're all genetic, but they have more than one gene and they're common. So you need to have millions of people then that have been sequenced. So as you do that, then we move from reactive medicine, which is you go to the doctor when you're sick, or what I call disease care, to healthcare, which is you now start having prospective medicine. You now start saying, oh, Howard, you're at risk for this disease. You have this variation. And in fact, in my case, my genome has been read. I have a mutation in one of my DNA pieces that determines drug metabolism. There's 50 common drugs that I don't manage on average the same way. Now, the only way I would have known that without my DNA would be to take a drug and have a side effect.
So if you got one of the conditions that needed one of those drugs, right away you'd start off on the wrong foot
treating it. On the wrong drug. Yep, exactly.
Now, are all these databases, all this sequencing, is this all being developed at Hudson Alpha, or are you in partnership with other institutes?
Well, it's a combination of things. So Hudson Alpha actually has the capacity to sequence 18,000 patients a year. So we have a big capacity. But we also partner with other groups to look at this. So we have grants from the National Institutes of Health to understand rare undiagnosed disease. So in fact, we are one of the sequencing cores for the Undiagnosed Disease Network. And we're also a clinical site for the Clinical Sequencing Exploratory Research. So these are grants that are really focused on how do we do this clinically. And in those cases, we're partnering with people from around the country. And then we have, of course, collaborations with other people outside the U.S. as well to try to bring together these large data sets and use the information collectively to improve how often we can make a diagnosis.
Well, HudsonAlpha.org, nonprofit.
Correct.
How does this relate to for-profit, anything from individual clinical care up to pharmacy? I mean, How does that line cross?
Yeah, so Hudson Alpha is a unique place. So we have a not-for-profit side, and we also have a for-profit side. So we have 16 faculty on the not-for-profit side, and we have 34 companies on the for-profit side. Many of those companies are designated and designed to leverage what we're learning on the not-for-profit side and turning it into commercial applications so we can get it out into healthcare. So the future is today we're doing rare and undiagnosed disease. In the future, what we want to do is be able to do everybody. So we have another program that we're doing, which is we're trying to help adoptees get a medical record by using their DNA. And as we do that, combined with rare disease, the third piece that we're looking at is people are presumably healthy. So how do you take the information of how did you make an electronic medical record, if you will, with an adoptee to somebody who's really, really sick, we don't know what's wrong with them, and then how do we translate that information into somebody who doesn't know they're sick or isn't sick at this point? I mean, we're all going to die, so but can we get information on that? So that's something that we call an insight genome. So to us, we see this as a continuum that eventually, I hope, we'll have someday that the day you're born, you get your DNA read. You start giving your care team from the very beginning an upper hand in helping you go forward. Now we do have to solve a few things like ethics, data return, how is that protected, how does insurance deal with that? So there are some complexities around the social side, but let's imagine we get through those and you now have a blueprint. I'm sure your physician will practice better medicine with a blueprint, just like your mechanic does a better job with a blueprint.
It occurs to me, especially in the case of adoptees, is that, you know, someone in your past had this, had that, and you have an inheritance there that is totally independent of whether or not you find these people, you're near them, whatever happened along there. That's a very important part that tells you your heritage.
Correct. And what you're at risk for. Imagine going to see a doctor and not being able to fill out that form. It's something we do automatically without even thinking about it.
Where was cancer in your family? Who had this? Does
exactly.
anybody in your family have
exactly.
that? You know,
right.
all of this, and you don't know.
Right. And then what does your physician do, right? So they can only look at you and measure what they can measure at that point in time and say, well, Howard, as near as we can tell, everything's fine.
Well, Howard, congratulations on your award, Future Maker 2016.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure talking with you.
Dr. Howard Jacobs is the Executive Vice President of the Hudson Alpha Institute for Biotechnology in Huntsville, Alabama, and the winner of the Biotechnology Innovation Organization's Future Maker 2016 Award. More information about the Hudson Alpha Institute is available on the web at hudsonalpha.org. For Biotech Nation, I'm Moira Gunn.
Tech Nation and its regular segment Biotech Nation are produced at the studios of KQED-FM in San Francisco. Executive producer is Matt Gardner. The director of technical production is Monte Carlos. And audio engineers include Howard Gelman, Seal Mahler, and Larry Upton. Our theme music was composed by Ann Nachtrieb-Zesiger and Robert Powell, with title creation provided by NameLab Incorporated of San Francisco. Program information and internet audio is available on the web at technation.com. Tech Nation and Biotech Nation are productions of Tech Nation Media. I'm Paul Landcourt.